So I think last week we went to the Fig Tosus on Lamed of an Aleph.
Not quite.
Not quite? I thought we did. Oh, we were rushing in the end? Okay, I think we basically... let me just talk about a few of the other implications of it before we move forward. So again, the case is one, which, again, the bottom here, Lamed of an Aleph, three volumes from the bottom. It's... one second.
Pages here.
Okay. Ahud Amar Le Lechabre, one fellow says to the other, right, my boy is Bahayara. What are you doing in my land? Amar Le Miplani Zavinta. I bought it from a third party, a Mocher. Right, Amar Le, he told me the story to Zam the Minach that he bought it from you. So again, this is not typical of the cases that we've had till now, because there's a middleman, because basically the taina is a second-hand taina. In other words, the fellow in the land is not claiming that he independently acquired the property from Marakama. He's claiming that he was told that, you know, that the fellow who sold it to him told him that he bought it from the Marakama. It's a second-hand taina. So the Gemara says, Amale, Atlap Kamodis, the High RDDE. Do you not admit that I am the original owner of the property? And by articulating those words, all the Rishonim are medayik that in this particular case, if it's not for the fact that the Machzik was admitting that the Marakama had that status of Marakama, then we wouldn't know it. Which means that the Marakama, even though he's in a position of strength because the Machzik doesn't have his own taina, right, also has a certain vulnerability by virtue of the fact that his own status is dependent upon the Machzik. So there's a Pesha also Pesha Hitir here, which helps the Machzik, but there's a Chazaka B'li Taina, or maybe not even a Chazaka, there's a Migu B'li Taina, which hurts the Machzik. And that's what the Gemara says in the conclusion. Do you not admit the high RDD? You ba'at lo zvinta minai. Don't you also admit that you didn't buy it directly from me? Zil la balzorm didiat. Leave the property. I don't have to deal with you because you have no direct connection with me. And Rava said, Dina, Amarava Dina Kamarlai, that's the top. Okay. So what we discussed in this topic is two major arguments in the Rishonim. What is the argument between the Ramban and the Ravid, which goes as follows. Again, the Machzik has a Pesha also Pesha Hitir because he is the one who substantiates the Marakama status as Marakama. So that would give him the power to be believed no matter what he said, because Pesha also Pesha Hitir is a very powerful force. The problem is he doesn't have a taina, because he doesn't know where the Mocher, right, actually got the property. He knows what the Mocher told him. The question is, so therefore we have the Pesha Asar, which establishes Marakama's Marakama. We don't really have the Pesha Hitir because it's secondhand and he doesn't know if it's true. And therefore he loses the case. The debate between the Ramban and the Ravid is the following debate. The question is, how does the Machzik know when he reports that the Marakama is the Marakama? How does he know it? Does he know it in his own right? Or does he know it also secondhand from the Mocher? So if he knows it on his own, so then there's no problem. Then the case makes a lot of sense. Because, basically, there is no Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. All there is Pesha Asar. Right? He, the Machzik on his own, knows and admits that the Marakama is a Marakama, establishing the Marakama's right to the property, original right to the property. Now the only way to take it away from him is with a taina, which he doesn't have. That's secondhand. The secondhand taina is not a taina. However, if the situation was that the only information, the only source of information that the Marakama is a Marakama also comes from the Mocher, so then the Pesha Asar is from the Mocher, and the Mocher himself says also Pesha Hitir. So why not take the whole Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, secondhand? That's the debate between the Ramban and the Ravid. Ramban says, if that was the case, then the Machzik could win the case. Because because the Peshach and Peshach Yitir, right, both of which have their roots in Mocher, would be effective. And the Ravid says, no, since the Mocher is not the Baldavar here, therefore the Matzik is the only person who counts. When the Matzik hears that the Marakama is a Marakama, there's every good reason for him to believe that, because it's against the interest of the Mocher when he says it, and therefore it's Odah, it's Baldin, Kameh, Adam, Dami. But when the Mocher turns around and he says, however, I bought it from him, that's a self-serving, self-benefiting argument, and therefore there's no Odah, it's Baldin on that. And therefore, we have a situation where the Machzik has Pesh Asar, but not Pesh Yitir. So that's the argument between the Ramban and the Ravid, whether or not Pesh Asar, Pesh Yitir, second hand, is a good Pesh Asar, Pesh Yitir itself. And that's what the Ramban says against the Ravid. He says, I don't understand the Ravid, I don't understand why he thinks that Pesh Asar, Pesh Yitir has to be first hand. After all, let's say there was a Din Torah between the Mocher and the Mach and the Marakama. Let's say they were the ones who were arguing here. Wouldn't the Mocher be able to say to Marakama, listen, I establish you as Marakama, believe me when I say I bought the property from you? Sure. So what difference does it make if he's in court or he's telling the story to the Machzik? And the Ravid, we don't have his response to this, but the Ravid will probably tell you a huge difference. So what's the debate between the Ravid and the Rambam? So we explained last time there are two elements. One is that the Pashas of Pishihishihitir is a single sentence which is not Nitan to be broken up and edited, right? Not neither to be applied selectively nor to be edited. I take the first half and I cut out the second half. That's one element. The second element is, who's the real Baldavar in this case? The real Baldavar, in the sense of who's going to end up in the property, practical Baldavar, is the Marakama. He wants the property back. And the Machzik, he's the guy who's going to keep the property if the Marakama loses. However, conceptually, the real debate here is not between the Machzik and the Marakama, it's between the Mocher and the Marakama. So maybe the idea is that the Ravid thinks that the real Baldavar is the Mocher, not the Lokech. Lokech is the beneficiary of the Mocher's Taina. Lemaisa, he'll end up with the property. But in fact, the real Baldavar, Al-Pidin, is the Mocher and the Marakama. That would be the position of the Ramban. And the Ravid will say, the real Marakama, the real Baldavar, is the Machzik, the Lokeach, and as such, Pesh Asar, Pesh Yitir will not apply. Now, how does that fit into, why am I repeating that? That's a very important argument, because that might be connected to the end of this Tosfos, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's just look at the end once, again, very, very quickly. Again, Pesh Asar, Pesh Yitir, the Migul Mafreya part, I'll just speak about it for another minute in a minute, but first let's finish the end. So this Tosfos, Lamed Amud Aleph, starting from, this is the part that I was running in the end, towards the end, yeah, Uba'uvda Didan. So that is in the wide lines, it's six lines down from the beginning of the wide lines. Okay? Uba'uvda Didan. Let's say the following scenario. Let's say the Machzik brought evidence. He brought evidence that the Mocher lived in the property for a single day, which qualifies for the rule of Taninan. But you need a Taina in order to win, even if you have Raya. You need a Taina. But Dorbe Chadyoma gives you a Taina on the basis of the principle of Tanina. Tanina, I mean, we put a taina in the mouth of the Mocher, even though the Mocher doesn't seem to be the Baldavar, right? So Uvdidon, Ihava Maisi, Hamatzik, Sadi, the Dorbe Chadyoma, Nir Larajba, the Havala Ukme, La Arab, Biyade, then the Machzik could win the case because he has a taina through Tanina. Now, Afagav, the Leka, Migu. Now remember, in this case, the Machzik does not have Gimel Shanin. The classic case where Dorbe Chadyoma works, provides a Taina, but you need two things. You need a Taina and you need a Raya. Right? In this case, in the Gemara before, we're saying the guy is a great Raya. Pesh Asar, Pesh Yitir. He has no Taina. He loses. Let's say he has a kaina, but he has no raya. What happens? He loses. Every time I go to court, I say, the guy says, what are you doing with my property? And I say, oh, I've been there a month. I bought the property from him. That's a taina. But if he's only been there a month, he doesn't have givul shanim, he has no raya. Right? So unless he has a migur or a pesha asar or givul shanim, one of those three things, right, he's not going to win the case. He needs a raya and he needs a taina. Now in this case, he has a taina because it's kanina. Does he have a raya? Well, there's no givul shanim. Ah. But he has a migu. No, he doesn't have a migu. Because he already declared that what? That the other guy owned the property previously. He already gave away his migu. So he doesn't have a taina. He has a taina, but he doesn't have a raya. The Rashi says, nonetheless, mikol makom, even though this seems to be in defiance of the principle that you need both taina and raya, mikol makom, says the Rashi. This Rashi, by the way, is not the Rashi, the Spanish Rashi. This is the French Rashi, meaning Rabbi Shimshon ben Avram Mishans. Mikol makom tanina lelokeach ma'achar shayim mocher neman lomar zvinta minach b'migu diboi omar lohoisa shokha mi'olam afagab ha'lokeach yada shoyisa shalo ma'ave kechad sada mikol makom ha've migu. Big chiddush of the Rashi Mishans. Since, in theory, again, the Mahsik doesn't have a migu because he gave it away. And migu l'mafreya lo amrinu. And either way, he didn't have the taina, so his migu wouldn't have helped him much. But when we say taninan, for who? Taninan for who? For the mocher. Right? Now the mocher, in theory, might also have had a migu. If the Valdavar here had been the Mocher, right, he very possibly would have had him. Migu Dibayamar. Right? Me'olam lo'oysa shokha. Ne'man lo'mar shokha ho'ysa v'kanisi. But this Migu, this theoretical Migu of the Mocher, is contradicted by the knowledge of the Machzik. That's a new case. Right? That's what's so exciting about all these things. Right? You have the cases of the Gemara and the interpretation of those cases. And then the Rishonim, you know, and the Achronim, as the case may be, they come up with new cases, new scenarios. Cases that test the limits of certain ideas. So the Rashba said, Rashi Mishan says, it doesn't matter. Even though this Migo of the Mocher is contradicted by the, you know, previous comments of the Lokeach, you'll still say Tanina. Kidamashma lekaman, Kabinaskum drababa. Second, even though there's also an edachot here, nonetheless, still a migu. Even if there's an edachot keneged, kidamashma lekaman, as we learned later on, Kabinaskum drababa. The Gemara there says, in case we're not going to go into it now, we have a mechayv shuv enech al yishava hayneim and lomar didi chatu v'migu di bayam alechatvi v'yimachis just aid. And so on. Oh. Then he says, what's the proof of this idea? That you can say taninan and pretend that the mocher, right, is the baldavar and project not only what he might have said, but the kind of raya that he may have brought to substantiate what he said. How do you know that? From the Gemara later on in Balbastra. What does that Gemara say? Mafkir is al-Rei Chaber B'Shtar. A person deposited an item for Shmira with someone else, and there's a Shtar. Why is it important that there's a Shtar? He can't deny it. He can't say, when he comes and says, give me back my Chepetz, my Shikadon, he can't say, well, Migu Diboy Omar Lahadam, it never happened, Neman Omar, I gave it back to you already, could say. No. There's a Shtar that proves that he actually that he received this object, and he can't simply say that I returned it, because otherwise it has to say shtar chabiyadi. My boy, why didn't you eliminate the shtar? So mafkir is going to shtar. Afagav de lo taninan liyasmi nemsu. Now, let's say this took place, and then the shomer dies, and he leaves his stoneman, and they don't know what happened to this object. So what will happen? Now, had the father been there, and then he said, Hechazarti, let's say he really said, I gave back the object, even though there's a shtar, we might believe him. Why? Because he could also, he has a miku, he could say Nansu. It met with an accident on Patur. Since he could get out of it, he could exempt himself with tying up ones. Therefore, if he says, Hechazarti, Benigu, he'll be Neman. But now we have Yisomim sitting there. They don't know what happened to the object. The father was the one who knows everything that happened. Right? So will you say on their behalf, had their father been here, he might have said Nansu. So too, they put Sefer on their half, Nansu. So the Gemara says, no, we don't say that. Lo taninan yasmi Nansu, because it's too lo shkiach. What?
You can say that without a riot? Nansu?
That's the idea of no, the idea of, oh, yes. I mean, do you have to be a riot at Nansu?
Yeah.
No. It's like kol for a kol. Meaning, since he's potter of own sin, it's like denying that you have an obligation. Right? You might take a shnua, with a shomrim, that's a different story, but leave the shvuas out of it for the moment, yeah, you'll be believed. Any kind of ptur that you have, you're believed. Maybe with a shvua, but you're believed. If I'm a shomer chinam, I say a nignav or nevad, I'm believed. Okay, now, so what happens here? Let him say nens, let us say on their behalf, psach picha li'ilein. He said, Yasom. So you know, if the father had been here, he might have said Nansu. We don't say that. We don't say Tanina under the Taina Delo Shkiach. So we wouldn't have said that. But Apil Hachi, the Gemara seems to say, Tanina Lo Hazar Tiblach, Kivin Shabia, Vayanaman Betaina Zubimigudi Bayamar Nansu. Ah. This is already tricky. Had the father been here and he said Nansu, we would have believed him. If the father was here and he said it's Zartiv, we would have believed him, even though there's a star, because Migu that he could have said Nansu. But for the Yisomim, if the Yisomim, we wanted to say Tanina for the Yisomim, the only thing we could say would be Nansu, we wouldn't believe them. But can we say Taninan, Shema, Hichzir, Ha'av? Can we say that for the Yisomim, even though there's a star? After all, the father would have gotten away with it had he said it, Migu di Bayomar Nansu. Can you do that? In other words, what we're really asking here is, when you say Taninan, the whole Taninan is a tricky kind of a thing. It goes back to the same, that's why I brought back the Ravid and the Ramban. It goes back to the same question. When you say Taninan, what you're saying is, this fellow, present Bal Davar, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know because he's a Lokeach and he doesn't know. He doesn't know because he's a Yoresh or a Yasom Yoresh and he doesn't know. He doesn't know. What's the idea of Taninan? Psach Picha Li'ilein. Benson will advocate on his behalf. And they will say what the Bo Mikoach, he's coming as what? He got it from the Mocher, he got it from the Morish. What would they have said? We'll use their Taina, right, to support him. So now the question is, who is the real Baldavar here? Right, again, the Kuzla Fanenu, the Baldavar. The Lokeach, or the Yosh. But when we say Taninan, what are we really? We're projecting on behalf of the middleman. So what the Rashba, what the Rash Mishams is trying to prove from here is as follows. In Akamar and Babadasra, right, if the Kotan, if the Yosem himself were to say Nansu, it wouldn't be believed. So you're going to believe him when he says Atzarti? If the only reason the father is Neman when he said Atzarti is Migu di Bayamar Nansu? I mean, the foundation of the Migu doesn't apply to the Kata. The foundation of the Migu, which is Ones, only applies to who? To the father. And nonetheless, we still say Taninan on behalf of the Taina, whose foundation can apply only to the father? So who's the real Baldavar? Says the Rashba. Apparently the father. What we're saying is, even though the Katan is the Farenu, the real Baldavar is the father. And that's why, since he had a Migu, the Bayamar, Nansu Namalomer Hizartiv, so even though he's dead, we're still saying Hizartiv, even though Nansu alone wouldn't work for the Katan, for Taninan. But Rashba says if that's true, and the real Baldavar is the middleman, so who did in our case? What happened in our case? The Lokeach doesn't have a migu. But when you say Taninan, do we care whether the Lokeach has a migu as long as the Mokhar might have had a migu? Just like the Hitzartiv migu denensu only works for the middleman and not for the Yoresh, and still it works, so too Kanisi, right? Migu di boyamar inachal marakama, that'll work. That's the Rajba's argument. Now the Re, one more second, Vilma Re, Dilo Dami Lahidamokha Sabayas. The Re says, no, you've gone too far, Rajba, right, with this analysis. It's not comparable to the case that you're quoting. Tahaka, Ima Yarotza Mocha Lazakus Batina Zu the Loisish Kwami Olam, Loyama Akka Halokeach. Sharia Dehayashirhoisa Shalom. In the case of Baba Basra, it's true, it's a pretty big Kiddush. And by the way, it's such a big Kiddush that in the end, the Ramban in the Mechamos, in Baba Basra, rereads that Gemara and says it's inconceivable, you can't have a Taina based on a Migu when the basis of the Migu doesn't apply to the people you're applying it to. Exactly this objection. And there's a lot of discussion in the Poskim, and the Sivas, and the Ksos, about this Ramban, and so on. The language of the Ramban and Mechamos is very, very interesting. He says, you know, if you cut off the shoresh of the migu, then you can't have the branches of the migu. It's an interesting idea. But there's a lot about migu that, there's a lot about migu and there's a lot about taninan that is being debated in that subject. But the reason is, listen, there's still a huge difference. It's one thing to say, you know what, the katanim, why don't the katanim have a tiny own sin? Because it's lo shchiach. Right? So we say, it's true, they don't have Tainus Onsin, but they can have Exartiv Migu de Onsin, because it's not like they're contradicting Tainus Ones. It's just an inadequate Taina. Tainus Ones, the Shorish of the Migu, is inadequate for the Ketanim, and nonetheless, according to the Bali Tosis, it works. But our case, it's not just inadequate, it's more than that. The Lokeach contradicts the basis of the Migu. If you say, oh, he doesn't have access to the same migu that the mocher does, that's Baba Basra. The mocher has a migu, the morish has a migu, Yochel Omer exarted migu to Nemsu, the katan doesn't have Nemsu. Right? But he doesn't contradict Nemsu, it's just not an adequate taina for him, because it's too low shchiach. But in the case of our sugya, it's not just that you're looking at it from the eyes of the mocher rather than the eyes of the kata, of the Lokeach. The Lokeach contradicts the Taina of the Mocher. Even then, you'll say Tanina? That's the argument between the Re and the Rashba.
Contradicting, so he's saying it's yours?
No, because he is independently same, right? Admitting that the object belongs to the Marakama.
Right, so he's saying it's yours.
You mean the Marakama. I mean yours, you mean Marakama.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So what they've done is, if you don't, that will work well if you don't say Migul Mafreya for
him. Yeah, we're this all working with Migul Mafreya. That's just a technicality here at this point. I mean, he doesn't have it himself. He's already on record as having said that the object belongs to, previously to the Marakama. So the point is, if you ignore him, it's one thing, but if he's part of the Din Torah and he's contradicting the basis, that's different than, that's much more of a difficulty than the Baba Basra case, where he doesn't have this foundation, but he doesn't contradict it either. Where do you draw the line? Yeah.
So let's say he doesn't have independent knowledge. Let's say he's just
right.
Mocha.
Well, then you'd be back to the Ramban and the right.
To the Ramban, so that would support with the Ramban?
Yeah, it would work well with the Ramban. Again, the Tosafot doesn't specifically speak about the Ramban and the Ravid issue, but I hear you. So what I'm trying to suggest is that the Re and the Rashba, in a way, are parallel to the Ramban and the Ravid. In the Ramban and the Ravid, one of the explanations that we gave was, can the second hand Pasha also Pasha hit their work? Well, if the real Baldavar, you know, in conceptually is the Mocher, why not? And otherwise, maybe not. Then it's more of an open question. And the Re and the Rashba are also debating. Right? The Rashba is basically saying, I don't care whether it's a stira or a lack of access. We don't really care because the Lokeach is irrelevant here. He might be Soser the Mocher, but that's like any other Eid Echad. We treat him like an Erechad vis-a-vis the Mocher. The Mocher is the Baldavar, and the Mocher has a Migu, albeit one which is contradicted by an Erechad. And the Re will say, no, the real Baldavar is the Machzik Lokeach. He's the real Baldavar. We're putting a lot on his behalf. You know, we're subsuming, you know, his time under the projection and the name of the Mocha, but it's still in his case. And if we're conscious of the Nedakod, he's the Baldavar who's being so there. That you can't have.
How do we define the Baldavar?
Well, essentially, that's one of the things that we're arguing about here.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean, what I'm saying is,
definition.
No, I mean, I think there's a very, I think this is like an objective question where you draw the line. In other words, the people who are actually battling now, you know, for control of this land are the Marakama and the Machzik, right? Machzik's in the property. You know, he's squared with the Mocher, so if he wins the case, he'll keep it. The Markama is the previous owner of the property. He claims everything was taken from him illegally. If he wins, he'll keep the property. On one level, the two protagonists are Markama and Machzik. All I'm saying is, since the Machzik here doesn't know anything, so he is simply, one could look at him as, conceptually, he's a derivative of the Mocher. I mean, his claim is dependent upon the middleman. So he's a surrogate. So while practically his fate depends on the resolution of this case, conceptually, what really dictates the wins here is the story, the competing stories of Mocher and Marakama. And therefore, that's another way of looking at the Baldavar. It's not that it's infinitely flexible. This particular case gives us two perspectives. And maybe they're both right, or maybe one is mutually exclusive to the other, but that's essentially what I'm trying to show is in different issues, this is coming up, and it comes up one more time before the end of the time.
Basically, Solomon, why isn't the fact that there's a Milsad Lashchicha, why doesn't that obviate the father's Migu as well?
Because it's not a Milsad Lashchicha for him.
Why not?
Because he is the Baldavar, and it's a Milsad Lashchicha affecting Taninan. But this is something called Shchiach doesn't mean you can't make a taina about it, a vadai taina. I mean, that's the parashat Shobrin.
He didn't say Nansu.
He could. All we need is that he could. But meaning if the Ketanim say...
What?
No. That's what parashat Shobrin is. You don't want to wipe out a parashat of the Torah. Right? In parashat Mishpatim. Right, we're told that anybody but a Shoel is Patur Mionson. The claim of Onsen makes you ponder. Now, is it Shchiach? I mean, how many times is that? No. If he said Onsen, he'd be believed. And therefore, when he says Ixarti, he's Nema Migudi Bayomar Onsen. That's the point. But if he wasn't Nema when he said Onsen, then he wouldn't have a basis for his Migu. Now, when he says Onsen, do we believe him even though it's called Shchiach? Yes. But we're not going to create a tanina and a projected taina of something that's not shiach. That's a difference. And that's a very logical difference.
Picking up on what you were saying, we all agree that the Marakana is a toveya.
Yes.
Now the toveya, he determines who the Baldova is. Mm. And he's going after the Machzik.
He's going after the Machzik. But the issue... It's not necessarily up to him to decide. It might be a more objective halakhic issue. And who is the... basis for the Machzik. That's essentially the last line of Tosfos 2, if you look very quickly. Also the Rajba, Rosh Mishan. Listen to this. One second. Yeah. Kosov Rabbeinu Chananel. Everybody see that? Ra'inu l'Rabbeinu Hagaonim. Zal. Dehein Machzik. Leisle Lenechas Ludina Bahadi Marid Ara. This Machzik is not obligated to respond to the Marakama when the Marakama takes him to court. Why? Elahida Zavinle Machas Bahade. The Mocha should go to court with him because the real Din Torah, once again, this is another different issue. Before the issue was, let's say the Machzik can ruin the taninan / migu of the mocher. Do we care? Or that was the previous case. The Rabban on the right, it is, if you have a second hand pesha also pesha hita of the mocher, does it work? Now we have a third case. When the Marakama confronts the Maksik, can the Maksik say to the Marakama, listen, love to the opposite of Lavol Dvar Didi, exactly. He says Lavol Dvar Didi, meaning, I don't know you, I never met you. Right? My mocher told me about the property from you. If you have tainas, go to him. So the Rav says, yeah. The Emir and the Rajba. Rajba says, I think that's wrong. The Kol Skus Shatavo Yodo Macharishon L'Sheni. Whatever the lokeach, right, has, he got from the mocher. So now he's the baldavar. When the guy says that you're living in the apartment there, right, and he says, oh, yeah, I bought it from Ploni, who bought it from you. Right? So why didn't he just say, la baldavar, leave me alone. I don't have to deal with you. Go find Ploni, the mocher. El iya v'mashka ksad in the darbe ahugav v'chad yoma. Okay. So we have three issues which highlight, again, this question, who is the real baldav? Now, I want to get back to another issue. The bigger problem that Tosa dealt with was the problem of migul l'mafreya, as we discussed. And I want to remind everybody what that is just for one more minute, and I want to highlight something else. Migu l'mafreya is the following. Again, the regular case of migu is, presently, I have two options, two claims. Right? I have a winning claim A, and therefore you should believe me when I make equal or inferior claim B. Because I could win the case with A, and therefore believe me with B. That's a classic migu. The question is, what happens if I already gave away claim A? Meaning, yesterday I had A and B, and I could have used A, and yesterday if I had claimed B, I would have had a migu. But I gave away claim A, meaning I already articulated, you know, the facts of the case in such a way that A is no longer a possible option. Right? Well, you still say, well, yesterday he could have gotten the object with A, believe him now when he says B. That's the question of migu l'mafreya. So we tried to explain that even though Tosfos has a more pragmatic view here, more a question of calculation, like yesterday when you gave away claim A, were you thinking of the ramifications? Does it prove you're an honest man and you're telling the truth, even though you know you're going to hurt your case because you just want to tell the truth? Or maybe you didn't know the halacha, or you weren't thinking ahead, and you blurted it out by accident, and there's no reason to reward you because you know it doesn't reflect your honesty. That's the way Tosfos interprets it. But most Rishonim interpret, probably will interpret, that the real issue of migu l'mafreya depends on how migu works. If migu is birur, then why not say l'mafreya? Right? The fact that yesterday I could have won this claim with taina A, and I chose to be honest and to give away taina A, should build some credibility for me with regard to taina B. Correct? Migu l'mafreya is a birur. However, if the basis of migu is, I could win this case, therefore, believe me, don't believe me, it puts me in a position of strength to win. So then you're never better than the winning taina that you have in your pocket. When you had it, you were a winner. When you gave it away, for whatever reason, we can give you a dinner, man of the year. But it still doesn't mean that you're going to win the case, because l'maisa, you don't have a basis to win, and therefore there's no basis for me. Okay, fine. One of the things that we saw was that Rashi, in Ksuvis, quoted by this Tosfos here, like the Sugyan Rashi Ksuvis, seems to say that there is l'mafreya, but it's a case of pesha also pesha hitir. There's a difference between pesha also pesha hitir and migu. And we discussed that may be because pesha also pesha hitir is either a stronger migu, more of a birur, because you don't even have to get involved at all. I don't have to open my mouth. Right? Never mind. So if somebody accuses me of something, I need to respond. But I have two responses, A and B. Right? So that's a migu. But if I don't need to respond at all, let's say I initiated the problem, Pesha Asar, or I could just say, leave me alone. You're not in a position to make this kind of claim. Right? And I choose instead to respond, That's called Peshas and Peshit. That's a stronger Birur, or maybe you didn't see more than that. It's Mishpat Echad, like we've discussed. It's a single statement, take it or leave it, and therefore, you'll certainly be Nema. So it could be that Rashi argues, or at least some people argue, that even if Peshas and Peshit here, even if Migul Lamafreya, Lo Aminan, Peshas and Peshit here, Lamafreya, Amina. I just want to highlight that with another, just a brief discussion of Peshas and Peshit here in Migul and other places. It's my impression that throughout Shas, Bali Tosas generally do not distinguish, at least not fundamentally, between Peshas and Peshit and Miku. This is an example of an Art Tosas here. Some of the cases they bring are Peshas, some are Miku. It's interchangeable. Sometimes Tosas says what we call Peshas, or Tosas calls a Miku di Bai Shasik, and he says it's a little stronger. But if it's quantitative, not qualitative. The Ramban, on the other hand, is very sensitive and always on the lookout for differences between Pesha, Asar, and Migul. I think he was convinced that they're two different ideas, qualitatively. So let me just highlight it in a very quick way, two of the perspectives on Migul and Pesha, Asar, with the following Makoros. If you look here on page one of these printouts, the Mishnah says, Now you have to understand, the Mishnah, this is the beginning of the second parak of Ketubis. This Mishnah is a continuation of several other Mishnayas in which there is a debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Where Rabbi Yeshua, we'll see in a moment, Rabbi Yeshua keeps saying there's a dispute between a husband and a wife, for example. We'll see in a moment some of the cases. She turns up without Basulin. Right? And he's basically accusing her that she misled him about her status prior to the marriage, and therefore she should not be entitled to Ksuva or for full Ksuva, as the case may be. She tricked him. And she says, no, I don't have Basulin, that's true, but enough, I didn't trick you. Why? Misharastani nanasti. I was raped after the Averson. That's why I don't have Basulin. Or Mukaseitani. I had a physical accident. So I don't have Basulin, but I shouldn't lose my Ksuva. So this is a debate. We have a few of these Mishnayas, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel always says, we believe her. And she says, Mukaseitz, or she says, Misharastani nanasti, we believe her. That's Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Shua keeps saying, Lovi Pia Nuchayim. Now we don't live by her by her stories. Right? Let her prove what she's saying. But who's the burden of proof on? That's the question. Oh. So there are several in the Gemara and Ksuvos, we're not in Ksuvos now, but in the Gemara and Ksuvos there are really three issues. One is the principle of Bari Vishama Bari Adi, right? Meaning, does he really know what happened? She knows what happened. Right? Can she get out of this by saying, I'm Bari Hishema, Bari Hishema Bari Adit? That's the argument, one of the arguments of Rabbi Gamliel. The other one, the second one is Migu. It will see in a moment. Let's say, Migu di Bayama Umbra. When she says, Mishar Asani Nanasi, I was raped after the marriage. Before the Nisuin, but after the Erusin. She could have said something simpler and more beneficial to her. Mukaseitani, right? I had a physical accident. Why is that better? She's not going to be Sula Lekuhuna. There are benefits to saying Mukaseitani over saying Misharastani Nanasti. So Rabbi Gamliel says, number one, Bari the Shem. Number two, Nigo. Number three, Cheskas Aguf. What's Cheskas Aguf? A woman is born with Besulin, right? So let's assume that if a change took place, this is the principle of Cheskasu, it took place at the latest possible moment. So when he married her, we're not sure when she lost her Besulin. At the time of the Averson, in which case there are Ksuva consequences, or after the Averson. So we say what? Cheskasa guf, mukminina cheskasa, it happened later. Right? That's Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Yeshua says, lo v'tianu chayim. We don't believe her. We don't apply Bari Vashema. We don't apply Cheskas Aguf. That's a whole discussion, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. Then the Mishnah says, in both Rabbi Yehoshua, even though Rabbi Yehoshua is a big skeptic, he's the one who says, Lomi Pia Nuchayim, and he rejects even Migu, right? Migu Dibay Yomra, Mukasei Tzanin, Nemenes, Lomar, Mishavas Tanin, and Asti. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Lomi Pia Nuchayim. No, we don't accept it. But he will admit in the following case. What case? If there's a case of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, or the case of dispute of Chazaka, and he, meaning the Machzik, says, it's true you're the Marakama, or your father's the Marakama, but I bought the property. Nikudi Bai Amar, you're not the Marakama, and in this case you have no Raya. Neman Lomar, you are the Marakama, but I bought it from you. Meaning, even though I normally reject, in these other cases of Rabbi Gamliel, I'm rejecting Migu, here I accept it. That's the Mishnah. And the Gemara elaborates. The Gemara says, Misavas Rabbi Yeshua, Hai Pirka Koi. What's this Moda Rabbi Yeshua? Moda means what? What's the context? What's going on? A Migu Koi. The Pirkan Kamoi Koi. Ahaya, which case? Ilei Maha. All those are cases previous to that. In the end of the first paragraph of Ksuvus. Hoitza Muberes, she's pregnant, the Amrula, and they said to Mativa Shal Ubarzeh. That's one of the cases. Who's the father? I mean, who's the child? Meaning, who's the father? They exploded the Kohen, and she says, ah, oh, that's not a wedlock, but she, a Kohen. Right? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar Omrin, Menes, we believe her. Rabbi Shul says, Lo Nitiyanu Kohen. So is that the Moda? That's the background? I mean, even though he says, he's a skeptic there he says, you'll believe, here you believe. Also, my Migu Ika. That's not a Migu case. Hari Krisa Bain Shinev. There's no Migu there. She's Muberes. She's pregnant. Elaha. It's a different case. Rov Daberes Samechad. Ovala Mativa Shalizet. We saw her right involved with this person. They said, who is that guy? And she said, he's Tony Koinu. Rav Gamliel Rozor Nemenes. Rav Yishu says, Lo Lipianu Chayim. Once again. So the Gemara says, I there too. Also, my Migu Ika. What's the Migu? And Ichal is the Iri Damar Mai Medaberes Mistura. Ah, what does the word Medaberes mean? It's a euphemism. So if the euphemism Medaberes means Mistura, she was alone with him, but we don't know that there was an actual pregnancy. So Migu Dibay Amar Lo Nivalti, the Koma Nivalti, right? Mekoein Mehem. Now that is a Migu. She could have said, listen, it's true I was alone with him. I shouldn't have done that, but nothing happened, and we believe her, let's assume, or at least it would be a better, maybe we wouldn't believe her, but the point is it would be a better claim for her, better than saying, right, I was involved with this person, where'd be the coin? Hello, Basi. Don't remind me of the Beres, Nivella, but according to Basi, says Nivella, means Nivella, again, my Nikuika. Hello, another case, here, Mes Mukasefani, who am I, Loki? She says I had an accident and that's why I have no psula. He says no, it was because of a betrayal. We don't believe her. There too, what's the migu? The details are not important. My migu ika. I'm not sure it's a migu. In that case, halacha. Hanosis ishiv lavatul of the sulin. Right? He marries her. She doesn't have the sulin. He omeres mishar sani nanaski in the stafka sadeu. Tough luck. That's what it means. The stafka sadeu. You know, bad luck of the draw, mister. You know, when you married me, everything was fine. Unfortunately, right? Mishar sani nanaski. I don't believe you. Maybe you misled me. Right? Rav Gamliel, Rav Lazar, Amrim, and Menes. Rav Yeshua, Melodi Pia, Nuchayim, we don't believe her. What's the Migu there? Migu di Bayamra, Mukaseitani. Right? Taktecha, the local Pasanasha Mikuhuna, the Kamar Nenasti, the Kapasanasha Mikuhuna. Shivaki Kamar Rav Gamliel, Mehemna, is a Migu. She could have said, Mukaseit, it was an accident. There are no kuhuna consequences either. Therefore, when she says, something which gives her more grief, namely, Nishorasani Nanasi, we should leave her. That's Rabbi Gamliel. The cover of Yeshua, the Rabbi Gamliel, Baha Migu the Achamadin Allah, and Rabbi Yeshua says, what in that case? I don't believe that Migu's no good. Lomi Pianu Chaya. But I agree with you that in the Mishnah about Marakama, that Migu's even I agree to. Ah, this is now becoming an interesting, relevant topic. I mean, Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah is basically saying, there are Migu's I believe in, and there are Migu's that I don't believe in. The Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, Baha Migu Dahakam Adin Alach, Bahu Migu Dahasam, Palignari Lavach. And then the Gemara says, Mechti, Hai Migu Bahai Migu, Maishma Hai Migu Mehai Migu. Either you believe in Migu or you don't believe in Migu. What's this? I like this one, I don't like that one. What's this Migo selectivity? Where does it come from? Ah, so the Gemara says, you know, another cryptic answer. Acha ein shar shachad lefanecha. Hasam are yishar shachad lefanecha. There's a debate in the Rishonim in which case is which. Right? I'm not going to go with all of you, it'll take too long. But you get the idea. What's going on? I'll give you the two basic approaches. There are a lot of nuances in between, including how you interpret which case is shar shachad lefanecha. Rashi says, what I want to just show in this case as follows. At least the two basic approaches I want to show. You basically have here two Migus, which are on the real stream of the spectrum. What do I mean? The case of the Mishnah is Peshach and Peshach Yetzia. Right? Because the only way that guy's a Marakama is the what? If I establish him as a Marakama. Otherwise, he's nothing. He has no right to make any claims to me. That's Peshachar, Peshach Yetzia. Correct? Mishorasani nanasti migu di bayamar mukafetani is a very unusual migu. Why? What's a regular migu? I have to respond. It's not peshasa. I have a winning tine in my pocket. Believe me what I'm telling you because I have a winning tine in my pocket. But mishorasani nanasti isn't a winning tine. Mukafet rather, which is a basic, is not a winning tine either. Basically, the guy is saying what? Lomatasi loch besum. And she's saying what?
You're right.
But I have an explanation. I can say mukasei tani to explain it, or I can say what? Misharastani nanasti. Is either one of them a winning taina per se? No, not according to you. She's not according to anybody really.
No, the time is I don't want
to pay a psula money. She wants the motzi a psula from him.
That's right. So his time is I don't want to pay.
You. Right. So he should be right.
So these technicalities aren't really the time. The time is
I don't want to pay you the psula because the motzi lost the psula. And she says, well, I had at the time, believe me.
Right. So can she
be motzi mamon or bad? Yeah. So that's the question. So basically, all I'm saying is this. Migu di boy amra mukafetani nemena slomar. That's what Rabbi Gamliel is saying. Nemena slomar misharatani nanasti. Now, let's take it in the regular model. I have a winning taina, the reakol. Therefore, the taina which isn't a winning taina should become a winning taina. That's the regular migu. But here, the mukafet taina isn't a winning taina. They're both losing tainas. Ah, one second, because it doesn't. It's not any better than Yishar Sani Nanasti on the basics. On what?
Gets her where she wants to go.
What do you mean it gets her where she wants to go? Only because we're accepting it because of the Migu. So Rabbi Yeshua doesn't accept it. He says, Lomi Pianu Chayim. The only reason we're going to believe it is because of the Migu. Now, think of it this way. What you have here is that's why I say it's the other extreme. What do you have? You have a situation where you want to create nemanus because the alternative taina is worse, even though, meaning the taina that I give as opposed to the alternative taina is worse, even though the alternative taina is not a winning taina either. You want to give me extra credit for what? For being honest, because if I was dishonest, it would be easier for me to say, if I admit, and I say, if I say, Mishar Sani Nanasti, right? Then I also bring upon myself the problem of kahuna. If I say mukase tani, I'm only going to lose my ksuba, but I'm not going to lose my kahuna. Since I was honest enough to bring the kahuna problem on myself, therefore, I'm not going to lose my ksuba because my honesty, right, will allow me to win. Because the woman wants to emote the ksuba for the man. And he is saying, listen, the de facto default situation is that you don't deserve it. I married a basula, you're not a basula.
Right,
he has a wedding pina. She has to count for him. Rabbi Gamliel is being, Rabbi Yeshua says, he has a wedding pina. He says, I'm potter. She doesn't have any counterclaim.
He
has a fact on his side. She needs a good answer.
Right.
Now, the answer that's in her pocket is no better than the, in terms of the ksuba, is no better than the answer that she gives.
Right.
In both cases, they're inadequate. She cannot be gova ksuba per se because she says, because she gives an explanation that he says maybe is not true. We don't believe her. The only reason we believe her is because if she was a liar, she has a better taina. Not better that she would win the case.
Better
that she wouldn't bring the kahuna problem on herself. Ah! So what you have here is a very extreme... On the one hand, you have Tash Al-Fatash Yitzhar, which is what? Not just a migu, a super migu or more. Right? I don't have to get involved in this. I'm off the hook. I'm creating my own problems, right? On the other extreme, what do you have? A migu, which is less than a classic migu. Not a... The taina that I make should be believed because of the winning taina that I could have made. No! You don't have a winning taina. But you do have a taina. The taina that you make is inferior to the taina you could have made. Even though the inferior taina you could have made isn't a winning taina either. Now, let me put it this way. In terms of regular, the two perspectives on migu we've been discussing. One is birur. It's a sheer in honesty. Are you an honest man or not? Now, if I bring upon myself a kahuna problem, right, when I don't need to, what do I need to multiply my problems for? So does the fact that I choose to say the truth, although it indicts me more, misharasani nanasti, does that build me any credibility? For sure. On the other hand, if the basis of migo was the idea that what? I can win anyway, I'm in a driver's seat. You're not going to win here. You don't have a winning taina. All you have here is Bior believes chusa taina.
Is her counter taina sufficient to stymie him? Or
stymie him what? He doesn't want to pay the ksuva.
Right. So is her taina...
It wouldn't be if it's not, only if it's an ego.
So just... Right, just...
But it's quite wise if it's an ego.
Claiming that there are reasons why she, why he didn't find her as a ksuva. Would not
her explanation per se is not from Migu.
Exactly.
She doesn't have any winning kainas, but she does have a way of establishing her personal honesty, her credibility.
She would have said Mukha Tate, she would not get the Ksuma.
No.
Why not?
Because. Now.
So good.
I mean, the question is what? I mean, this is not, I don't want to get into the ksugya there, ksugis right now. So maybe that's one of the reasons why you have the combination. Is it a combination? Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? This is a big issue. All the Rishonim, discuss it. But there's a very interesting, a very good line in the Shikha. If you look at the language of Rabbi Gamliel each time, you know, he always like has a triple language. And then Rabbi Yeshua also has like a triple language. They say, yeah, each time they're discussing all three. But the Gemara here is trying to isolate the migu because the example of the Mishnah, Omer Sadazu, is only in this isolating the migu. So the point I'm trying to make is when the Gemara says Rav Yeshua, Mod Rav Yeshua, he believes in Peshas and Peshihitir, as the contrast to what? In contrast to Misharastani Nanasti Migu Di Bayamar Muka Seifani, and the Gemara says, what's the big difference? That's a migu. This is a migu. The Gemara says, Shor Shachad Lepanecha. So now you can imagine that the Rishonim have two extreme options. Some of them say the only Migu Rabbi Yeshua ever believes in is what? Pesach Asar. And others say the only Migu Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe in is the ones where there's not even a winning Taina. So look very carefully. Look at Rashi. Look at the second page for a minute. This is just a very critical Shakavataria for the whole structure of Migu. Look at the Rashi on the second page. Zimasa Haka. Haka Gabi Sadeh, says Rashi, Ein Shor Shachot Lefanecha. That's how he interprets. I told you there's Lachokas, which one is the Shor Shachot Lefanecha? In the Sadeh, Ein Shor Shachot Lefanecha. Meaning, Sheyala Leit Balav Litzvoa Mi Shachta. That's how he interprets. That the Baal should say, should be meaning, there's no issue here. He created the issue by his extreme honesty. Klomar, in Shafak Zeh, Lo Hayla Orim. Hilkachilav the Dabra Pashadu Shalakai Menele Omer Shalavicha Isa. If he just, you know, kept his mouth closed, there would have been no problem. Would have been no Din Torah. What did he do here? Pesh Asar. Hilkachamina Migu. Abagabi Mamatsala Besuim Shar Shachar Bafanecha. It's not that she deserves credit for indicting herself. She's got a serious problem. There's a physical reality which she cannot deny, which she needs to explain. The question is, how is she going to explain and whether she's going to get out of the problem? But you're not going to give her credit for excessive honesty bringing up the issue. The Alphabet Sheyesh Law. Lahashiv Taina Tova Mizu, you know, she has a Migu, Lo Amina Migu, Didima Lo Aska Daita, Inalirum Kamarma, fine. Meaning, according to Rashi, what's the Gemara's Chiluk? Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir versus everything else. But is the Misharastani Nanasi Mukaseit, is that any different than any other Migu which is less than Pesha Asar? Not according to this Rashi. Maybe it's all Birur and this is all Birur. But look at Tosas, next piece. Number one, Rashi seems to say, also Rashi in the Mishnah says the case of Pesh Asa Pesh Hitir is a case where the person brought it up. Tosa says that's not even factually true for Pesh Asar. What if the other guy brought it up and said, what are you doing in my field? As long as the fellow can say to him, leave me alone, who are you? Even though he brought it up. The issue isn't who initiated the proceedings, which is what Rashi seems to say. The issue is who is in a position of strength not to have to even respond. That's the first point of Tosas. So it seems like Rashi and Tosas in the Mishnah already are debating the question, what is a classical Pesh Asa Pesh Hitir? The most classical Pesh Asa Pesh Hitir would be like Rashi. Not only if he's in a position of total strength and he's bringing this all upon himself, he's even initiating the discussion. And Tosa says that probably don't care about. Right? That's point number one. Haki Perusha. Hasam Shor Shachar Lefanecha Hari Ein La Besulin. Vein Yechal Olomar Besulani Kamo B'Shor Shachar. Vein Yechal Olomar Kayu. Haki Bein Omeres B'Shor Sani Nasi. Bein Omeres Mukas Eitha Nitatecha Lo Mehem. But Haka Ein Shor Shachar Lefanecha. Now look at the Ramban. Umuparkinan Hasam Ein Shor Shachot Lefanecha Klomar Gabe Mukas Eitz, the opposite. Right? Gabe Mukas Eitz Ein Kan Migu Barur. Shari Lagabe Hai Taina the Kaima Allah, this is what we were saying just a second ago. The Hainu Ksuba, with respect to the Ksuba Lo Mehem, the Lamehem Mukas Eitz Anitachtecha either. I don't have a winning taina in my pocket. If I say mukaseit, or if I say mishra sani nanasti, in terms of the ksuva, which is the real din Torah here, they're equally inferior. I do not have a winning taina in my pocket. Afagav the mehemna legavi mili achrini, kigol lachshiru lekuna in the sarmla. True. There are consequences to my saying mishra sani as opposed to mukaseit, linyan kahuna. And therefore, it does add some credibility when I say it that way, but enough credibility to create that manos, even though I didn't have a winning time in my pocket? The kivin shenu lefaneinu kloba. So ksuba zuei na nemenes b'shum taina. The matzil meimar. Lav migu ikri, that's not a migu. If you don't have a winning taina, even though you have added credibility, it's not a avalacha, but in the case of Pesha Asar, but not because it's Pesha Asar. What's the idea? Again, Tosis is, I mean, the Ramban in this case actually is going the other way, but avalacha in the case, I agree, migus, not just Pesha Asar. But a migu, where you have a winning taina. Hare shower shaka the panacha. The heche the toin hashta. The aysad shalav asecha haya. Hakanani avimotz in the meim aloya shalav asecha ele shalav osai. He could have won the case. Here the Ramban says the issue isn't Pesha Asar versus Migu. It's Migu with a winning taina versus credibility without a Migu with a winning taina. Yuka kol heche the bai taina. Have a mehem and ashta nami mehman. Pirish shor shokot shor shokot lemasho bialma. Shekivin shu shachar v'panecha hakorcha tamam in l'misha omer lecha shu shachot. If somebody confirms that it's shachot, then you believe him. Hakanami is lei taina hakorcha mehem nilei b'din zeh shalafaneinu mash enkein hasam she'en lo taina l'ksuvet shalafaneinu sh'tein emenes ala. You don't have a winning taina. Ken yirun v'far shuvuzu. And here's the second pshat, ikilim farshi, shor shor lefanecha gav yishor memukaseitz, in shor shor lefanecha, the opposite, b'chaz kasiser, and so on. So the point I want to make is that finally, if you see the next line, just the next paragraph, this rules it in Shah, the Tamami, Shalom Asasi v'talmud migu elekein migu d'Rabbi Yoshua, habokein migu she'in shor shor lefanecha lo. Ramban says we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel maybe over Rabbi Yeshua, but we still don't really find migus like Misharasani Nanasi Migu Di Bayomer Mukasek. It's very unusual. A migu without a winning taina, but based on added credibility, is a rarity. Okay. This question of Tetz Asar, migu, the qualitative difference, where you draw the line, what the it's a massive, massive topic. And it's all throughout the Sefer, but it's all throughout Ch'as. But this is probably the most, Ketzes Abad is probably the most concentrated location to study Dinei Migu and Pesha Asar, which are very, very critical. Okay, let's continue. We have another couple of minutes. Let me just read on to the next Gemara. Let's begin with that, and then we'll continue next week. Hahud Amarlei, this is Lamed Aleph on the base. So if we'll go through these cases quickly, because mostly we've discussed, maybe we'll mention a little more to the next, but let me just go through the Shach Matari quickly. Ha'ud Amalei L'chabrei. One man says to the other, my boy is by hour, again, what are you doing in my property? Amalei, mi ploni zavina da'achaltia shnei chazaka. I bought it from Ploni, and I've been here 3 years. Okay, like the previous case, except this case he has 3 years. In this case, the Marakama doesn't depend on him. Right? Great. What's the problem? Amalei, he answered him, Planya Gazlanahu. Ploni, according to Rashbam, Tosa says what this means is, I can prove that Ploni is a Gazlan, meaning he has a history of being Gazlan, like his possible age is a Gazlan. And a Gazlan doesn't have a Chazaka. The way the Rashbam interprets it, it's more conventional. Ploni Gazlan, meaning he stole the property from me, meaning he's lying. Okay. Omar Lay. So the fellow says to him, the Masik, but Isli Sadi Dasoi Imlachi Bach the Omar Tli Bilzin. I can bring him who will establish that I came to you, the Marakama, to ask your advice whether I should buy this property from Ploni. And you told me to go buy it. How can you turn around now and say that he sold it from you, when you were the one who advised me to purchase it from him? So the Gemara says exactly, we had this case in, we had the Mishnah in Ksuvus in Tosis last week, we discussed it, right? The guy signs on, like what happened, you'll see in a moment, Amalei, Hasheni Noach, the Arishon Kol Sheinenu. It's true, I'm not proud of it, hopefully the guy says. Right? I misled you. What? Yeah, kind of. It is misleading. I misled you, but I did it to recoup. I didn't do it because I'm evil. I did it because the only way for me to recoup my own property, does that make it ethical? No. But it's an explanation of why I did it. On the Kosher Mishpat side of it, if this were true, right, it's his property. Right. So the violating, as you say, with naive or things of that sort, that's a different question.
What about
Gnevus Das? 100%.
So why does that apply to him?
Well, Gnevus Das is Gnevus Das, but that doesn't mean he loses his, he's still his property, he still owns the property.
Even though he misled him?
Yeah, because there's no kid. He doesn't have a kid in. I mean, it's my property. No one. I own a piece of property. Someone stole it. Someone else bought it from the person who stole it.
So what are the consequences of misleading someone?
Well, no. There are consequences. It's a violation of an Easter, number one. But let's keep perspective here. The perspective is, I'm the first victim. Now, being the first victim doesn't justify my victimizing other people, but in terms of the technical kinyan on the property, this is my property. Someone stole it. It's still my property. I didn't steal anything. I gave misleading advice. Gnevus Das is not a dine mominis actionable heser. It's a violation. It's a terrible thing. But it's not yotze b'dayanim, right? With Neivah L'shitei Nishal is not yotze b'dayanim.
So yes. The victim
can't recover
the money that he paid
on the advice. Right. He can't recover it from the Markama. Markama is getting back his own property. He can take to court the Goslin who took his money when he bought the property. That he should do. Right? Amale. Ashoni Noakla Rishon Koshe Menu. One second. Amar Rava, Dina Kamarle, that's the halacha. I say, no one's making him a banquet, but it's his property, and we believe him. So the Gemara says, Kiman Ke Admon. This is in accordance with Admon. Admon is the halacha that we had encountered in the Tosis last week. It's not. The Mishnah in Ksuvis, Kuvzayin, Ha'or Ala Sadeh, the guy claims someone stole his property. And then the chosam allowed the aid. And then when that property is sold by the supposed thief to a third party, he is a signator on that transaction. That's even worse, right? The halacha is admin omer. It doesn't undermine his claim that he was stolen from. It doesn't imply the chila or anything like that. Hasheni nochli rishon kashe menu. Again, I'd rather deal with the purchaser, who's a lovely guy, then the Goslin, who's a dangerous fellow. The Chachamim Omrim, he beta sechuso. Chacham disagree. They say, listen, if that's what happens, you lose your right to claim that you are the victim. And the Gemara explains, Apilu Temer Abanan, Hasam Avad Lamaisa. If you're signing on the shtar, right, that's far more of an indictment than if you're just giving improper advice. Havalhacha dibura avid, right? I'm sorry, dibura avid inish to nikri
v'yomar. Yeah. Well, why is it more of an indictment if you do something than if you say something?
Well,
I mean, in our law, you couldn't get away with that.
No. We're not talking about punishment. We're talking about nemanos. Meaning, do you lose your credibility to claim that he stole from you by virtue of the fact? How can you claim he stole from when you're supporting his ownership by being a party to the transaction that is subsequent? It's not a question of punishing, it's a question of credibility. How can we believe you? Now, it's one thing to say, he came to me, I saw an opportunity, it was sly, it was nasty, it was dastardly, you know, but it's much more problematic if I also participated in the transaction, in terms of my credibility, my belief that, in fact, he stole from me. That's all the Gemara is saying. We're not saying it's more ethical. We're talking about whether or not this is just a breach of ethics, or it's an indication that he's lying about his claim that he's the initial victim. If I give bad advice to someone so I can get my property back more easily, that's not as much an indicator that I'm a liar, right, as much as it would be if I actually sign on the deed. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. Another case. Similar case. I've already doing my property. The guy says, I bought it from Plony. I've been here for 3 years. Amalei, Plony goes, Lano. He's in that property illegally. Amalei, Isli, Sahadi, the Asis, the Urta, the Umrisli, Zadna Neheli. You're not going to be as upset with this fellow. This fellow went in the middle of the night. I went last night, and he came to me. He said, I can prove that you, the Marakama, the Ma'arer, you came to my house, and you offered to buy the land from me. Doesn't that imply that you are acknowledging that I'm the rightful owner, namely that the person who sold it to me did so legally? Otherwise, why are you trying to buy the property? Why aren't you initiating legal action to get back your land for free? Why you want to pay my money for land that you already own? So the Gemara says, Amalei, Amina Izbon Dinai. I thought, you know, sometimes I really want my karka back. It's a legacy karka, right? Sometimes it's just, instead of dragging through the courts and dealing with the mafia or whatever it is, I'll pay the money, I'll get my karka back. Is that a legitimate? We want an umdina demucha. Is that a kind of a taina that is sensible or not? The Gemara says, "Amarava." And if the other dinish is oven dinay, what did you say? Nuisance.
Nuisance value.
Nuisance value. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Nuisance value. And then finally, last case. We'll just read it and then we'll stop. Because this is an old case that we've seen many times already. Just want to get through the two dots. Harud amalei lechaver my boys b'hayara amalei be plenty of mitzvah yachal piyash nechazaka. And the guy says, what are you doing with my land? He says, I bought it from Plony. I've been here 3 years. Amalei hanakit nashtara nizavna laminei har b'shani. I have a shtar that proves that 4 years ago I bought the property from Plony. Meaning, you're telling me that you've been there 3 years and you bought it from him. I have a shtar that says, I have been in the property for 4 years and bought it from him. My 4 years precedes your 3 years. I'm the real owner. So the Gemara says, Amalei, the guy answered him and he said, Mi sabra shnei chazaka tlas shani kamina? Shnei chazaka tuva kamina. When I said I have shnei chazaka, this is my focus for showing him here. He said 3 years, and now we're explaining what he meant by 3 years, but 3 years isn't just 3 years. 3 years is a category, meaning I have chazaka, or it's even less than that. He said, I have shnei chazaka. I have chazaka years. The guy said, oh, 3 years, big deal, I have four. He said to him, oh, right, not so fast, right? I said, chazaka years, I didn't say three. So that's what the Gemara, that's what the Gemara, it's an interesting argument, because the question is in the category of towing because of a towing, am I backing out of my original statement if, you know, technically I said three, but now I'm explaining, I didn't mean three, I'm at the category three. Is that a backing out or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Havidi Inshi Dekari L'Shnei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. That's an acceptable thing, whichever, depending on which of these two formulations, it's more or less of a Kiddush. People refer to more than three when they refer to the Shnei Chazaka. Then the Gemara adds, V'hani Mida D'Akla Sheva, but his claim has to be not just more than four, right? Meaning I bought it before you. It has to be 3 years before the four. Right? It has to be 7 years at least. The Kadim Chazaka Dahai Lishtara Dahach. Because that way the Chazaka predates the Shtar. Meaning the 3 years before the Shtar. Why? Avoshis, let's say it was only 6 years. In the Chamacha Gedolim Mizu. That's the discussion we already had already. Meaning the classic Mecha is when I go to court and I object. I say you're in my property within 3 years. Let's say I take a legal macaw, meaning I sell the property out from under you to someone else within the 3 years of your presence. That's the topic we already discussed. Okay, we'll stop.